The Need for Nonsense by Julia Blackburn, with Andrew Sachs and Alexi K. Campbell.
I make macaroon. Is here.
Oh. Oh, delicious, Giorgio. Best batch ever. Oops. Oh, lost in the tea. Where's the spoon?
I make 100 macaroon. Perhaps is 50.
Here's the spoon. Lady Wirtle something is coming this afternoon to look at me paintings. I'm told she's full of tin, so be polite to her, will you? Mm. We can't live on mice and caterpillars forever.
I never cook the mouse, master. Mm. The mouse very bitter. I make the thrush for lunch and the sardine for supper.
I'm working on a new rhyme, Giorgio. Now, how pleasing... No. How pleasant to know Mr. Lear, who has written a number of books... Mm. That's far too grand. Who's famous for nonsense in verse, if fame 'tis, and not just foolishness. Some think him bad-tempered. Oh, no, surely not.
No, it's true. You is bad-tempered, especially when flies and midge in summer.
Am I? Mm. I try so hard not to be. Huh. Well, some think him ill-tempered and drear. Or am I more queer than drear? Mm. But some think he could be much worse. Well, it'll have to do for now. Oh. Yeah, his mind is both broad and compendious. His hands are remarkably small. His body is fat and most... pendulous. Mm. So he don't see his feet, not at all.
Why you know she feet? You lift them up, you see them. I open door.
Oh, who is it, Giorgio? Mm.
I have lady with tin.
Oh, why, of course. Oh, Lady Wirtle...
Wirtlesham? Mr. Lear, I hope I'm not too early.
No, just right. And how good of you to visit my humble abode. Not that it is mine, it being rented. Would you like some tin? I mean tea. Make tea, Giorgio?
I have make tea. I make sardine now.
More tea. That is if Lady Wirtlesham would care to partake.
Oh, please. Mr. Lear, what fun it is to meet you like this. My husband says that everyone in the House of Lords recites your marvellous limericks under their breath when they're bored with too much political nonsense.
Oh.
His particular favourite is the old person whose habits induced him to feed upon rabbits, while I adore the young lady whose bonnet came untied when the bird sat upon it. Maybe it's because I bought myself such a big hat last year for Ascot, and just like the young lady, I said, all the birds in the air are welcome to sit on my bonnet. Oh, gosh, we laughed. Do you write nonsense for commission, Mr. Lear? You see, I was actually born in Kensington, and I thought you might do me a little jingle, for a fee, perhaps.
The nonsense, madam, has its own ways and rules and can't be bought. But if it's pictures by an artist, as you're after...
More then tea I... and more macaroons I bring.
Well done, Giorgio. Whoops. Milk, Lady Wirtle Shamble?
Just a slice of lemon à la française. Uh-huh. Of course, I've come to see your paintings. Perhaps watercolour. A little gift for my husband? Mm. I believe you've done some views of Palestine, which he might like. Or maybe you have a splash of Mediterranean coastline to cheer him up during a London winter. Oh, silly me. Now I can't decide between a cedar of Lebanon... What's this one?
Palm trees at Busana is 10 guineas. The cedars are 20, by the way.
I'll take the palm trees, then. Oh. Where's my purse?
It's on chair, Lady Wu.
So it is. Oh, I only have £10 on me. Will that do?
Oh, I suppose so, seeing as I only spend it when I have it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and a £5 note. Now you can get yourself plenty of honey, Mr. Lear. A moustache. Thank you again.
Don't mention it. It's my pleasure.
She'd gone in carriage.
So, Giorgio, that's done and over with. Now, how pleasant to know Mr. Lear, who has written such volumes of stuff. Some think him ill-tempered and queer, but a few think him pleasant enough. I think I've got it here.
£10, master.
No, not that. The rhyme.
It's very good. But I know not volume. What is?
Oh, that just means books. Nonsense books. Lots of them. And then comes the next verse. Mm-hmm. His mind is concrete and fastidious. Mm. That's solid and yet fussy. Mm-hmm. His nose is remarkably big. His visage is more or less hideous. Visage is just another word for face. His beard, it resembles a wig.
You know where a wig...
It resembles... Huh? No, never mind. Giorgio, I've been thinking. We cannot continue any longer with the indignity of welcoming strangers into rented rooms here in Cannes. Mm. Changes need to be made. After all, we're not getting any younger, you and I. Yeah. What did you say was for supper?
I say the sardine.
Sardine? Mm. Hard to find a rhyme for such a fish. I've done sprats, but that's easy. Hats, cats, mats. But sardine, hmm. There was an old person of Cannes who purchased three owls and a fan. Mm. But what I need to purchase right now is a house. Is a nice villa.
On the coast of Coromandel, where the early pumpkin grows, in the middle of the woods.
I tell you about my master. I meet Mr. Lear in Corfu, where I live with Tatiana, my wife, and my three little boys. This long time ago, I young them. Big moustache.
Ah, you... then is Elnas. You English?
Mr. Lear, he come to Corfu with his friend, Lushington. He make the picture of tree and sunset, and he walk about in the mountain.
No, I'm Yorgos.
He talk to me. He ask, can I be servant for him?
I'm looking for someone to cook and carry, do the things I cannot do, which are many. What did you say your name was?
I, Yorgo Kokalis, Albanian Sulio tribe. Very fierce. I very fierce for you.
Oh, good. And you have no family. I mean, you are free to travel. Are you
Giorgio?
Giorgio, yes. I'm a bit of an ant, you see. Never stay anywhere long. But if that kind of life would suit you...
I say, yes, Mr. Lear, it suit me very well. I not tell him about my Tatiana and my three boys. I think I tell him later.
I plan to go to Athos next, Giorgio, then Rome, then Egypt. There's so much to see. I earn my bread and cheese from landscape painting and can do beautiful cliffs and hills and sunsets and waves, although I'm hopeless at people. Perhaps sometimes you could model for me in a peasant costume. That might help.
I model for him, and Mr. Lear paint me. I cook for him because Mr. Lear not know how to cook. I make him blackbird, thrush, sardine, fried lemon, nice things.
Celestial food, all of it.
Mr. Lear not know how to look after himself. He cough, he sneeze, and his eyes no good for seeing, so he trip and fall and lose things. I think maybe robbers rob him, or worse. I tell him,
Mr. Lear, I protect you. I murder for you if need.
No blood shed so far, Giorgio. Thank heavens. But thanks to you, I'm still alive, in spite of the asthma and the bronchitis and the short sight. No, the fat tummy, the dizzy fits and the sad fits and all my other troubles.
To show I am good servant, I give my master presents. I give him fox and green lizard and beautiful tortoise. They walk away after I give, but he like the present.
I've always given you presents as well, Giorgio. I gave you that tobacco jar in the shape of an elephant last Christmas. I've never forgotten your birthday. And you get a special present every year to celebrate the day when you first agreed to work for me as my faithful servant and companion. Oh, I remember that tortoise you found. It was beautiful. All yellow and black, he walked slowly away, and he never came back.
I say goodbye to Tatiana and my three sons. I promise I send them money, much money, if I can. Mr. Lear and his Yorgo leave Corfu and travel. We go Athos, where all monks.
Everything male and mournful in Athos. No eggs because no chickens. No milk because no cows. Oh, you were very ill in Athos, weren't you, Giorgio? Mm. But I looked after you, didn't I? I said I looked after you when you were ill in Athos.
We go Rome, where all noisy noise. I never hear such noisy noise. The bread in Rome break into four pieces. In Corfu, it break into three. That is difference. We go other places. When my master visit England to get tin, I visit Corfu. I give my wife money. She shout at me and say is not enough. Then I leave. I still not tell my master.
Two bachelors growing old together. That's what we are, Giorgio.
We leave rooms in Cannes and we come Sanremo. I happy, because I already speak the Italian. We come on train, third class. Is all Arabs smoking. My master make them laugh with songs.
Can't stand the Nice from Nice and all those Monaco drawlers. Give me third class laughter any day.
Ah, delighted to meet you, Mr. Lear. Congreve's the name. As well as my embassy work, I do a bit of buying and selling of land and houses, and I think I might have just the place for you.
Ooh.
There's a couple of acres right alongside my own property. Undisturbed view over the Mediterranean, perfect climate, broad terraces, good soil, 28 olive trees, figs, some nice palms. Thomas Hanbury, another neighbour, is making himself the most magnificent garden. I take it you like gardening, Mr. Lear?
Oh, I muddle and doddle mostly, Mr. Congreve. Fond of ramblers and climbers and anything that smells nice.
Yes.
Good at picking off caterpillars. I thought of getting a grey parrot to keep me company.
Yes.
Or I might meet a nice hen bird and we could make a nest in a tree.
Ah, that's the spirit, Mr. Lear. Glad to hear you're as humorous in life as in print. I've got your nonsense verse, but then who hasn't these days? A garden and a wife. What more could anyone want? Size of house? Number of rooms?
My master want a villa.
Ah, yes. That is just what I want, Mr. Congreve. A nice big villa with a studio, 20 by 30 feet, and good light, because my eyes are very weak, and a gallery of the same size to show the paintings to them what wishes to buy, and an upstairs, and a downstairs, and Giorgio's quarters and several rooms for guests.
Yes.
I am a man who needs his friends.
Splendid. I see it all before me.
What do you say he see, master?
An idea, Giorgio. He sees an idea taking shape, like a chicken in an egg.
Our villa is a chicken.
Tell me, does your manservant always interrupt you in this manner, Mr. Lear? It seems most odd.
Oh, always, Mr. Congreve. Do go on.
Yes. Where was I? Yes. I've recently arranged the building of four magnificent dwellings along this stretch of coast.
Oh.
I can organise the design, builders, everything you need to make a home and to feel at home. Hubert,
Father,
what are you doing here? Barging in like this. Can't you see I'm busy talking to Mr. Lear? He might soon be our new neighbour.
I wanted to say, Father, that I just found the letter Mother wrote to me before she died. It's the letter in which she says she'll always love
me. Not now, Hubert. Run along. First, his elder brother was carried off by a fever, and then his poor mother, my late wife, succumbed just a month ago to a most dreadful and painful illness. Well, he's almost 12, but the upset has left him very, very childish.
Motherlessness is a hard affliction, Mr. Congreve. I was the 20th of 21 children and rarely caught sight of my mother. I was like an orphan in a way. Bereft, bereft.
It's true. My master say, Jorgo, you are like a mother for me now.
Indeed. So, shall I arrange for you to meet with the architect, Mr. Lear? Next Wednesday, perhaps?
We stay in hotel and we watch villa building. Villa one slow tortoise. Then he's ready with roof. Then he's ready with rooms and stairs and doors. Is our first home.
Here we can sit like potatoes, Giorgio, and grow roots.
We have gardener called Buffalo because he shaggy hair. And we have me doing cook and curry. My master, he in garden very much.
Linum azurum, Lope trifidae, orange lilies. Well, that's already in and doing nicely. Sweet peas and the pink everlasting ones which grow like a weed here. Fraxinella, herbaceous, a beautiful passion flower. Climber to be placed in a warm aspect. Scarlet intermediate stock to be grown at once. Hello, Hubert. Come in, don't be shy. I'm only sorting out some seeds here.
I wondered if you could tell me the name of your cat. He walked into our house this morning with a dead mouse, didn't you, Puss? And he dropped it on the ground next to me, as if it was a present. So I put it in a box and gave it a funeral. Do you think that's the right thing to do, Mr. Lear?
Oh, a very important thing to do, Hubert. Appreciated by the mouse's family, and also by Foss, For that is his name. Foss is fond of ceremony.
Why has Foss no tail? Was it cut off?
Foss has no end of tail because he lost it. Maybe he was looking for it in your garden. Do you like nonsense, Hubert? I find nonsense a very good remedy for many things. I was just this moment thinking of a rhyme. Perhaps you could help me. It begins, "There once was a cat named Foss who was sad from a sense of the loss of his elegant tail, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum,
which he waved like a sail."
Oh, very good. Ah, yeah, ah, but now for the last line. That's going to be tricky. Needs to rhyme with Foss and loss, you see. While walking beside the boss for us. Well, that's awkward. Any ideas, Hubert?
Especially when he felt cross.
Wonderful. Couldn't be better. I think we've earned a cup of tea and a macaroon. Hmm? My servant Giorgio makes the best macaroons in San Remo, mainly because no one else makes them. But don't tell him I said so.
Were you ever unhappy, Mr. Lear?
Unhappy? Oh, goodness, yes, yes, often. Always, sometimes. Sometimes, often, always. Yes. I suppose you must be unhappy because you've lost so much so recently. Ah, what's to be done, eh? How to manage? I think that's why I do the poems, Hubert, to steer away through the wide Grombulian plain and the silent, roaring ocean.
I've never heard of the Grombulian plain. I suppose we haven't done it yet in geography. And I don't understand how an ocean can be silent and roaring at the same time.
Oh, yes. Well, you will. Just wait till you get a bit older and all the unknowns and the contradictions begin to crowd in. Oh, come. I'll give you a copy of a new book of mine. It's called Nonsense Songs, Stories, Botany and Alphabets. I hope it makes you laugh, but it's serious too. It takes courage to go to sea in a sieve, and it's no easy thing to sail away for a year and a day, like the Jumblies did.
Are they songs or poems, Mr. Lear?
Oh, it's a bit of both. Now, here's the page. And everyone said, who saw them go, "Oh, won't they be soon upset, you know? For the sky is dark and the voyage is long, and happen what may, it's extremely wrong in a sieve to sail so fast." Now, you, Hubert, here.
Far and few are the lands where the Jumblies live. Their heads are green and their hands are blue, and they went to sea in a sieve. Why didn't the sieve sink, Mr. Lear?
What? Why? Oh, because it spun round so fast the holes didn't matter. A bit dizzifying, but the Jumblies were used to that. They had dizzy fits, even on dry land, just as I do.
It's time for jam and jelly and bread. But no jelly.
The Quangle Wangle said to himself on the crumpety tree, "Jam and jelly and bread are the best food for me." I take it you also like bread and jam, Hubert? Keep the book, I have many more to give away.
Thank you, Giorgio. Just one slice. Mr. Lear, perhaps I can come and see you again. Even when Voss hasn't brought me a dead mouse.
Oh, any time you like. I'm always here, and on my own mostly, apart from Giorgio and Foss.
It's true. My master, he live a snaily hermit life, like monk on Athos Mountain. He often weep, and I bring him handkerchief. He often worry, and when he worry too much, he get the dizzy fits. We call it epilepsia in my country. He call it the demon. Not much to do for epilepsia. I wait till he's over.
I have letter for you.
Three tyrants finished and it's not yet 11. Oh, thank you, Georgia. Oh, it's Lushington. Oh, my dear, dear Lushington. Oh, pity, he says he can't come after all. Too busy by far. I tried to tempt them, Giorgio, but what is there for them here? You can't spend all day gazing at the sea and collecting slugs.
Your friends make you sad, master.
Sad? Well, I've always been sad, Giorgio. Been sad for as long as I can remember, and probably longer than that. Still, I have you to watch over me, and I know you will never leave me. And I am sustained by letters from my friends.
I wonder sometimes if I've deserved so many of them.
Your friends is only letters. You have three chests full of letters in attic, and you all alone with your the Suliot.
We must sort them out and tie them into bundles. Lushington and Chichester Fortescue, Lady Waldegrave, Holman Hunt, Lord Derby, my poor dear Gussie, Emily Tennyson. Oh, I would so love to show Lady Tennyson all my ramblers and climbers here. The weather would suit her. She also suffers from bronchitis. I sometimes wish Lord Alfred were not quite so slovenly. But never mind, she has to put up with him, not me. In my last letter I told her, Emily, you are 10,000 angels boiled down.
Lady Tennyson is busy with Lord Husband. You need lady who not boiled angels, a lady who want to be wife. I find you nice fat girl in Corfu.
Yes, quite right, you did. She was clever and good and nice and fat. And she had 25 olive trees and 10 goats and a little stone house. Oh, I would be happy still had I ever found
it's
you.
It's no good. Hey, I read you more Owl and the Pussycat. Master, I say, I read you more Owl and the Pussycat.
Oh, no, thank you, Giorgio. I think I'll go to bed. Oh, by the way, I've invited the Congreves. Pair a feast for supper.
It's not season for pear. I have no fish. I look for fish in market. If no fish, I buy sheep.
Leah, here we are, on the dot.
Don't be shy, Hubert, for goodness sake.
Congreve, come in, take a seat.
Thank you.
Hubert, oh, I'm so glad you could come. I've prepared a menu for you with a few illustrations for clarity's sake. We're having fat black cat soup, followed by mouse patties in amblongus sauce.
What's that, cat? Mouse? What's that piece of paper Mr. Lear has given you, Hubert?
It's a menu, Father, and look, yes. Here's a drawing of Foss, the cat I told you about.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good indeed.
Master, I come say something. I make special for the English. I make the boiled mutton and the pilaf and it's good. I make the bread and butter pudding and it's burnt.
My mother used to make
bread. Be quiet, Hubert. The pilaf smells delicious. Mm. And I can't remember when I last had bread and butter pudding.
I just said mother used to
make. Oh, how is your new studio, Mr. Lear? Light as it should be? I say, I saw a whole crowd of visitors yesterday afternoon. Some very elegant and well-dressed little ladies.
Have some pilaf, Hubert. I'm glad you like bread and butter pudding. I'll make sure Giorgio prepares it regular for you. My lady visitors, Mr. Congreve, were so enchanted with the view from the window, they hardly bothered to look at the drawings. Oh, 'twas ever thus.
But they were a pretty bunch, can't deny that. Did I catch sight of Lord Wirtlesham in the top hat? He's quite a chap in Parliament these days. You do have some very influential contacts. Perhaps you could introduce me to a few. Might be a great help in my line of business.
Lord Wirtlesham is not a friend, Mr. Congreve, just an acquaintance, or should I say a client. I come across a great number of such Pharisee flunky folk, but I avoid them, except when they wish to shop from me.
I not like this Congreve. He stuck up. He too much money, and he has wife dead a few weeks, and already he looking at the ladies. He hire a new cook, a very pretty cook. Hubert is a good boy, but I sometimes shout at him because he make me think of my sons. One year go, another year come and go again. It's like that. Hubert get tall, and his voice get deep like a man. I get the grey hairs, and my master get the grey hairs. I get so thin, my trouser fall down without the belt. My master get so fat, he need bigger trouser. Foss, he also get fat.
Oh, Foss has disappeared again, Giorgio. I've been looking for him everywhere.
He's here in chimney, hunting dormouse. Oh. I get him down with broom.
Yes. He bit me, Giorgio. After all I've done for him, he bit me. Foss, you are banned from the kitchen for a whole week, or until you apologize.
Foss apologize, and he back in his basket in kitchen. I harvest olive, rattle, rattle, with long stick. I take olive to mill.
It's a waste of time, Giorgio. What are we going to do with all that oil? Oh, maybe I should make me own paints.
Time waste is better than olive waste. You busy with caterpillar. You busy with paintings and songs, with writing letters to friends who no visit. I busy with olive.
Oh, you're right, Giorgio. I meant no harm. It's heat and flies and midge makes one jumpy. I'll walk with you when you go to the mill, or at least as far as the post office. Mm. Expecting a letter from Emily Tennyson. Huh. I hope to be staying with her and Lord Alfred when I'm in England later this month.
When my master visit England to get in, I go to Corfu. In Corfu, Tatiana shout at me and say I am bad husband. My big sons shout at me and say I send too little of the money and I'm bad father. I say they are bad family and we all shout. Then I come home again. It's the same every year.
Sunset over Pine Tree. How's Corfu, Giorgio? Did you see any old friends?
Corfu, very quiet. Mm. I not see nobody, just goats and donkeys. How you like England?
Oh, thank you. Oh, London is too noisy for me these days. Lots of rain. Emily was charming, but I felt lonely even in her company. I'm glad to be back. What's for supper?
I make spanakopita and roast potatoes. Mm.
I saw poor dear Gussie in England. Her husband's in a wheelchair. You know, I really might have married her. And I suppose then I really might have been happy. Did you never think of marriage, Giorgio?
Yeah?
Well, you were so handsome when you were young. I expect many girls must have fallen for you.
I not never think of girls. I think of olive and goat and chicken. Now I go cook.
How can I say, master, I am married man for almost 30 years? My wife was pretty woman. Now she's sick old lady. My three boys were little. Now they are grown up big. Much bigger than Hubert, who come now.
Ah, Giorgio, I saw the buffalo and he asked me to give you these potatoes. Huh. Everybody here seems so glum. My father says he's had enough of San Remo and wants to move to Tasmania. Mm. The buffalo spends all his time moping in that shed he's built for himself. And Mr. Lear was so busy drawing himself counting caterpillars he didn't bother to look up when I greeted him. Well, even Foss is in a grump.
You, just a boy, even though you have got the man's voice, you not understand nothing. People is sad when they grow up because the life is difficult to do.
How is your life difficult, Giorgio? It seems very straightforward to me.
I tell you, you not understand nothing. I am in Corfu. In Corfu, my wife Tatiana is sick and I think she dead soon. In Corfu, my three sons are angry and say Yorgo is not a good father and a bad man.
A wife? Hmm. Three sons? Does Mr. Lear know about your family?
Oh, if I tell him, he's angry, so I no tell him.
Oh, but you must, Giorgio, especially if your wife is ill.
It's true. I wait for after the supper when my master is quiet and belly full, but still he no like it.
You have a what, Giorgio? Mm. Oh, this is absurd. How can you have been working for me for all these years without mentioning her?
I also have the three sons, is Dimitri, Lambi and Nikos. Oh. They grown up like Hubert, but more big. Oh. They need a father. I think my wife is maybe dead and she need a grave.
Oh, she's just this moment come into existence and now she's dead. And your sons are fully grown and need a father. I can't bear this, I can't.
I must bury my wife.
Well, what about me, Giorgio? You can't leave me here alone. What am I supposed to do?
We make a new family. You like Corfu. Tortoise, lots of pretty flowers.
Oh, this is impossible.
My master say he come with me. See my wife or her grave, meet my sons.
Perhaps Hubert could come with us. Do you think he might? He could look after me when you're too busy with your family.
I tell my master, I not see why Mr. Hubert need to come to Corfu. He have me, and now he have Dimitris, Lambis, and Nikos also. We shout. Everywhere there is shouting in this life.
I don't care what you say, Giorgio. I'm asking Hubert to come.
So this is how my master treat me. I turn my back on him and not answer. I go with Lambis to Corfu. I put the flowers on the grave of my wife. I live in stone house with three sons and goat and donkey and many chicken. I pick olives. He has Hubert and he say goodbye to his Yorgo. My master, he learned that what Yorgo tell him about Congreve and the cook is true.
I'm in deep water, Mr. Lear. Very lonely since my wife died. And Maria, well, she's such a pretty thing.
Mr. Congreve, my servant Giorgio said something of this matter, but I didn't believe him.
Truth is, she's bearing my child. I intend to make an honest woman of her, of course.
Oh, I don't understand how anyone can bring a child unwelcome and unwanted into the world. It is too horrible.
Mr. Lear, you know nothing of the world. You spend too much time with a cat and a barbarian manservant.
Am I interrupting? What's going on? Father, you're all red in the face. Mr. Lear, you're shaking.
Oh, my poor child. Your father has abandoned you. But don't worry. I will be your guardian, Hubert. I will look after you now.
Look after me? But why?
Mr. Lear, you fail to understand that Hubert does not need to be looked after. He's 18 years old and about to go to London to train as a barrister. He's already fledged and ready to fly the nest.
Hubert, is that true? You're leaving San Remo? Leaving me?
Leaving you? Well, I suppose I am. Although I'll be back for Father's wedding, of course.
Oh, this is too much for me. I think my heart will break. I must go now at once. Goodbye, Congreve. Goodbye, Hubert.
My master, he write me a letter to Corfu. He tell me Hubert not a good man like his Yorgo. He not want to learn the painting. He leave for London to do the study, and my master is very sad and much epilepsia.
The cruel loneliness of every day drives me wild. Tears blind me. I can't work. I can't sleep. I was never nearer to utter and total madness than now.
Katsikatya! Yep.
I think my master might die without his Yorgo. I leave grave of wife. I leave house and goat and chickens, and I am in San Remo. I not strong. I bring my son Lambis to look after me and my master both.
Giorgio, my dear Giorgio, you've come back to me. But you're wearing spectacles.
I need spectacles, because like you, I not see well. This is Lambis. Oh. He help in garden.
Calimera.
He help in house. Lambis bring two rabbits from Corfu, a man rabbit and a wife rabbit. Soon we eat rabbit pie.
Rabbit pie, thrush pie, sardine pie. Oh, I could do a whole alphabet of pies. A calico pie, the little birds fly down to the calico tree. Their wings were blue and they sang tilly-loo till away they flew. And they never came back to me. You have come back, Georgia, you have. And here is Foss, come to welcome his old friend.
Lambis say he make house for rabbits in cellar where I keep olives and oranges.
And the barrels of Marsala. Oh, shall we drink some now by way of celebration?
Master, in Corfu, I'm wondering why you never write nothing of song about your Yorgo.
Don't I? But I do. You are everywhere in my poems. You are the turtle on whose back across the sea the Yongi Bongi Bo was carried. You're surely the duck who sits on the tail of the kangaroo and away they went with a hop and a bound, and they hopped the whole world three times round. You might even have been one of the two old bachelors until your family emerged. And now I'm busy with a new song. Incidents in the life of my Uncle Arlie, in which you figure prominently, Giorgio. You are the cricket who accompanies Uncle Arlie.
Why are you a cricket?
Because you're cheerful and you chirrup continual, that is why. It's not finished yet, but I'll tell you the verses in which you're found and your qualities are extolled. Here we go. Later, in his morning rambles, he perceived the moving brambles, something square and white disclose. 'Twas a first-class railway ticket, but on stooping down to pick it off the ground, a pea-green cricket settled on my uncle's nose. Never. Nevermore, oh, never did that cricket leave him ever, dawn or evening, day or night, clinging as a constant treasure, chirping with a cheeriest measure, wholly to my uncle's pleasure, though his shoes were far too tight.
Why I on Uncle Arley's nose?
The whole thing is a sort of life story, Giorgio. Wow. Uncle Arley has a railway ticket in his hat, which is all our ant-like travelling through the world together. And when he stops travelling, he sits on a heap of barley. I don't quite know what that means, apart from the rhyme and the precariousness of such a sitting, but I suppose it might be our villa here. Yeah. And you're on his nose because that way you are close to him. Yeah. I mean, to me. And he and I can see you all the time. Uh-huh. Uncle Arley's shoes are, of course, far too tight. That is a little reference to the demon which makes me uncomfortable, as you well know.
Ah, the epilepsy. The demon is like me. It not leave you, master. We scriggle on, but then big thing happens. Makes scriggling difficult.
Mr. Lear, I back from market. Oh. I speak to fish man. He say hotel is coming on terraces below where we look down at blue sea. Hotel big as Mount Athos. They pull up olive trees and bang roots out with dynamita.
This is terrible, Giorgio, terrible. Yes. I saw them at work, but I didn't want to think about what it meant. And I heard the blasting and the sound of carts, so I went inside and blocked my ears. Where can we go, Giorgio? What can we do?
It's to be four floors high, white walls.
I must talk to Congreve. He is a house agent, after all. He can explain everything. He has the power to block the plan on my behalf.
I don't think the Congreve will help you. Maybe he knows it already. Maybe it's his plan.
You have no faith in people, Giorgio. You don't trust them enough.
Ah, Lear. Haven't seen you since you got back from staying with all your fine friends in London. Hubert's doing well, I gather. Or haven't you heard from him?
I've come to see you because of the hotel. It's in the process of being built right in front of me on that patch of land which used to belong to old Hanbury. Do you know anything about it?
Suppose I must do, since I arranged the sale. I had no choice. I have a new family, and I need to sell my own house and move somewhere else. I'm sure the hotel won't be such a problem. It's bound to bring in a lot of wealthy clients, Mr. Lear.
How is hotel, master?
You were wiser than me, Giorgio. It was Congreve who sold the land.
I never liked the Congreve. He called me Suliot Barbarian to my face. He pretend he no understand English when I call him Pharisee stuck up.
You want me to kill him for you, master? Better I ask Lambis, because he more strong with sword.
Kill him? I don't think that would be such a good idea. But this modern monstrosity will condemn my garden to sunlessness in winter, while the glare from those walls will wholly destroy the light in my studio. I must get away. But where? New Zealand? Toronto?
You going to new country, master? No more potato roots.
You'll come with me, Giorgio. Oh, but then who will look after Foss? Perhaps Lambis? No, he can't be trusted with such responsibility.
It's easy. You need to make another villa.
You're right, but who will want to buy this one with its view blotted out? Perhaps I can borrow money from friends.
Yes.
I'll write to them all, explaining the situation. The desperation.
My master, he write many letters, and his friends, they send many letters back.
He's postman again.
Oh, Lord Northbrook. He's offering to lend me £2,000, and without interest. Oh, we can buy land and begin to build at once.
Yes.
I cannot understand how such an asinine beetle as myself could have made such friends.
Land for new villa is very close to old villa, but more near the sea.
And since there is only the road and the railway between us and the Mediterranean, nothing can block our view this time. Unless the fishes begin to build, or Noah's Ark comes to anchor just below us.
Noah is coming.
No, it's just a silly joke, Giorgio. Ah. The new house will be an exact copy of T'other to make things easier for Foss. Otherwise, he won't know where he is. Hmm. And we'll get a new garden going soon enough. Bramblers and climbers very quick.
New house is same as old house. Only we have more orange and less olive.
Giorgio, there you are. It seems your Lambis is so good with rabbits. He's made us a rabbit palace in the cellar. There are dozens of them everywhere. What on earth have you got in that basket?
It's guinea pigs.
Do you intend to make guinea pig pie, Giorgio?
I'm fond of guinea pig, but not eat. Much fat and not good meat. This is pets.
Oh, glad to hear it. I wrote a story once which included guinea pigs. I read it to Hubert. They came to a sad end. How's the orange harvest doing?
We are having 605 oranges, but they bitter. I fry them. Ah, the buffalo, he no like his shed. He wants live in the kitchen.
Well, tell the buffalo he can't live in the kitchen. That room belongs to Foss, and to Foss alone. Perhaps you will join me in a glass of Marsala. We have a new delivery.
Lambis say Marsala very nice and very sweet when he put it in bottles. We see if true.
I'm feeling rather pleased with myself, Giorgio. I have just about finished the incidents in the life of my Uncle Arlie.
Ah.
The last two verses go like this. So for 43 winters, till his shoes were worn to splinters, all those hills he wandered o'er, sometimes silent, sometimes yelling, till he came to Borley Melling, near his old ancestral dwelling. But his shoes were far too tight. On a little heap of barley died my aged Uncle Arlie, and they buried him one night. There his hat and railway ticket, there his ever-faithful cricket, but his shoes were far too tight.
But now Uncle Arlie is dead.
I suppose he is. Although I must go on, for as long as I must. If I should die before you, Giorgio, I've made a settlement in my will, so you'll always have enough tin. I thought perhaps we could be buried together. Not in one grave, but side by side, with the same stones and railings.
It's a good idea. We end in earth, like two potatoes.
I do sometimes wish I were an egg.
Why you want to be egg master?
Although even an egg has to be hatched.
Or a person cook you and eat you up, and then where you be?
Where indeed? The fact is, time is nonsense, and I am walking in the dusty twilight of the incomprehensible.
I go to bed.
Me too. Good night, Giorgio.
Good night, Master.
The Need for Nonsense was written by Julia Blackburn, with Andrew Sachs as Edward Lear and Alexi K. Campbell as Giorgio Kokalis. Kim Hicks played Lady Wartlesham, and Mark Meadows was Congreve. Hubert was played by Ross McKendrick and James Rastell. The Need for Nonsense was directed in Bristol by Mary Ward Lowry.